Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember, during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us." He said then, "Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them so that they will not come into this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that as we hear these words, as we read them, may they penetrate into our hearts and our minds. And Lord, I pray that the message that I have prepared is the message that you have given me for this day. May we hear these words and your message for each of us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Whenever I read this passage of scripture, when I did read it this week and was praying over it, it reminded me of a gentleman I know who came to me and said he works with a bivocational pastor. Now, a bivocational pastor is a pastor who works a secular job and also pastors a church. He said that this pastor told him that hell is never mentioned in the Bible. I gave him a couple of scriptures showing hell most definitely is mentioned in God's word. And this is one of those scriptures. Do you remember last week when I talked about the fact that sometimes we have a hard time digesting God's word, and as a pastor, I look the commentaries, and sometimes even the commentaries that have been written by scholars and theologians don't always agree? Well, this is one of those instances. In this scripture, it says Hades. And there are people who believe Hades is different than hell. However, we are told in this passage of scripture that this rich man is in agony. He is in constant torment. So whether Hades and hell are different, I can't answer that. I believe they're one and the same. But Would you want to go to either Hades or hell? How many of you believe that hell is a place of constant torment? I don't think even a person who says they don't believe in God, if asked if they would want to spend all of eternity in hell, would say, yeah, I want to live for all of eternity in a place of constant torment. When a person dies without confessing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, their loved one wants that assurance that that person is in heaven. They want that assurance of knowing that their loved one is not living in constant torment, but is living on streets of gold. Last week we heard that we cannot serve both God and wealth. In this parable, and in the lesson that Mike read for us from 1 Timothy, we are shown what wealth can do to a person here on earth. In our gospel reading, we hear where this rich man walked by this beggar every day, yet never helped the man in any way. We're told that this beggar wanted nothing more than the crumbs from the rich man's table. Think about that. Think about the meals that you have around your table and the crumbs that may fall. Would you be satisfied to just have those crumbs? Now, we need to understand, in the day of Jesus, they most often ate with their hands. They didn't eat with knives and forks and spoons. And so the food that would fall to the ground may be more than what we would have. But still, would it be enough to satisfy a person's hunger? In this beggar's eyes, that's all that he wants. But I think if we look at reality, we know that would not be enough to satisfy. Can you imagine living like that? Can you imagine having so little food that you just want the crumbs that somebody drops at their table? I think that's hard for us to even begin to imagine. And yet we know that there is hunger worldwide. We know that there are those who are on the streets begging for help. As we look at this passage of Scripture today, I would like us to somewhat think about the five brothers who were left behind. This rich man wants them to know the truth. He wants them to know that there is a hell, and he wants them to repent of their evil ways before it is too late. He doesn't want them to end up in the agony that he is suffering. Now, I think if we look at ourselves, most of us would say, that's not something we need to worry about. I'm not an evil person. Do any of you here look at yourselves and think, I'm evil? Probably not. Because when we think of someone who is evil, what do we think? We think of someone who is extremely immoral, someone who is extremely wicked. And you and I aren't those people, are we? But you know what? We very well could be the person who walks by someone every day who has a need. You and I could walk by that poor man who only wants the crumbs from our table. And yet we fail to reach out to that person. Even in death, after the rich man is in hell and he sees Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham, what does he say to Abraham? He says, "Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in cool water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." You and I may read those words, or we may hear those words, and we may think, what is wrong with this man? Even in hell, he is thinking only of himself. But you know what? I think we are more like this man than we would like to admit. How often do we cry out to the Lord? Lord, I have this need, or I have this want, and I want you to fix it for me. And maybe we see that fix by coming through the hands of someone else. How often do we cry out to the Lord and say, let me see the one who has the need. Use me. Use my gifts that you have given me to share with those who have a need. Lord, help me to see those people, whether that need is a material need or that need is a spiritual need. There are many people who have both in our community, material needs and most especially spiritual needs. But oftentimes we pray to God for Him to send someone to us, whether personally or a request for our church. Right now, you and I are living in a world, we're living in a country, we're living in a community of struggling churches. But often we aren't saying, Lord, what is it that you want me to do as your church to reach out to others so that they don't go to hell? So that they don't go to that place of eternal torment. Instead, we say, Lord, how is it that we can survive in our comfortable environment? Are we truly different than the rich man in his palace? Remember, last week we heard that you cannot serve both God and wealth. Well, I believe in our passage this morning, we are told we cannot serve both God and self. Jesus is trying to tell us that there are things of this world, money, material possessions, relationships, activities that pull us away from Him. And when they do, they keep us from looking through His eyes at the needs that are around us. Are we allowing the things of this world be the center of our lives instead of Jesus Christ? The rich man sees now that he did not live his life listening to the word of God, and he wishes he had a second chance. But when he realizes that that second chance won't be given to him, he begs that Lazarus be allowed to go to his brothers, that they could be warned and given that second chance. One thing I would like you to recognize is this man has now become the beggar. Think about that. Don't let that escape us. Because I think often it is who we walk by, who we may criticize, who we may make assumptions about, who it is that we judge, that we may become like. I know some of you have heard this before, but I'm going to share it again. When I was a caseworker for the Department of Public Welfare, I was an intake worker. I did face-to-face interviews with people, regardless of who that person or persons were. Didn't matter what they looked like. Didn't matter what their circumstances were. I always kept in the forefront of my mind the only thing separating me from this person or persons is a desk. So do not judge. And now I pray that as a pastor, I never look at a person inside or outside of the church and make an assumption or a judgment on them, because one day, in my moment of vulnerability, Satan may win that spiritual warfare that is going on in my head. And I may become that very person that I judged or criticized. See, Jesus is pointing out to the rich man that everything that he and his five brothers needed was already provided for them. It was provided through Moses and the prophets, but they didn't listen. They didn't heed what was right before their eyes. And I think this is true for our world today. Everything we need is given to us in God's word, through Jesus Christ, our Savior, through the power of the Holy Spirit, which has been promised to us. The question is, do we recognize it? Do we repent when it is shown to us where we err in our ways? Do we look at others through the eyes of Jesus? See, this rich man argues and he says, "No, Father Abraham, you don't understand. Somebody who has come back from the dead, if they go to my brothers, then my brothers will repent." He wanted something much more dramatic. And I believe that's true for our world today. I think there are many who feel if they haven't had that experience of salvation such as Paul had on the road to Damascus, they feel that they are not saved. For many, they make a confession of the errors of their ways, and then the next day, maybe even the next hour, they go out and they do it over again. Jesus says, if we do not listen to who we already have, nothing dramatic will change that. We know that's the truth because we have Jesus. We have the risen Savior. God the Son came to earth. He lived as a human being. He died and he was buried and he rose again so that the world might be saved. However, for many people, even some who are inside our churches, fail to allow the reality of hell to be part of our lives. Because I think if we allowed that reality to be in our lives, we would be better at evangelizing the Word of God. We would have that desire to see that others are saved through the blood of Jesus Christ, because we would not want anyone to live in the fires of hell, to be in constant torment. The only way that we can let others know is to share that love and that compassion and that grace of Jesus Christ that has been given to each and every one of us. You and I don't know what tomorrow will bring. In fact, we don't know what the rest of this day will bring. Friday, John Ott was told he was going to rehab on Saturday. John Ott has died. Something that no one expected, not even those doctors. What if John hadn't known Jesus? See, Jesus died for the world. Jesus rose again so that everyone would have that opportunity to believe in them, that they may not perish to the fires of hell, but they would be in that heavenly realm with our Lord and Savior. The thing is, God asks you and I to share that message with others. Do you believe in the fires of hell? Do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again for the world? Because, my friends, if we believe that with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength, then we're going to live the message of Jesus Christ right now, so that others can come to know with assurance that there is a Savior for them, that they will not be damned to the fires of hell. You and I will live that message of Jesus Christ now, to not one day say, I wished I had a second chance. Our chance is now. Are we willing to live it? Amen.